Crack a beer.
Beer time.
Talk some rugby.
On a Sunday night, not a Monday.
And it's horrendously bad weather outside.
Should we try and do the whole pod as a song?
Probably not.
Oh yeah, that would be painful. I feel like this is the pod before the pod.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's look, we're excited. We almost.
Did you almost talk rugby?
But I just obviously. So tell me about your.
On the agenda for today, we're going to be talking the upcoming Eden Park battle. No. We are going to be talking some Pacific Nations Cup. We're going to be talking Women's Rugby World Cup, NPC, Ramfurly Shield, this and more on this week's episode of
Two Cents Gets Distracted. Mate, it really sounds like a jam-packed show we've got tonight.
We're going to have timestamps down in the description and everything, unless you're listening on iHeartRadio.
You know us, we're a no-nonsense all rugby podcast on
Who's here to get distracted?
So, I wanted to start with asking you about your prostate.
Oh, what about it?
Is it going all right?
I assume so.
Okay, good. Have you had the old finger-eaky? The old?
Not for a long time.
You're over 40 now.
This is true.
You got to have it.
Need to get it done.
Live stream it. I've had it twice.
Oh, nice.
I volunteered.
How did it go?
Uncomfortable. No, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal at all. You should absolutely get it done. I'm sure we've talked about my prostate.
It's one of those things that's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I need to go this way just a touch. Get away from you a little bit.
When I'm talking about
and your prostate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, by essentially moving that way, you are getting away from my prostate.
Literally.
So it's a Sunday night. We record these on a Monday night.
Yes.
Do you have a slightly different vibe on a Sunday night versus a Monday night?
This is Sunday night, Mark.
Exactly. I don't see a lot of Sunday night,
Mark.
This is great.
Next week is, well, we won't get into that just yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is next week, that game. It's not this week yet, because it's still Sunday.
Yeah.
So how's your week been, Tones?
It's good. I had a lovely little day today. So I'm a week on, week off with my daughter.
Okay.
So it's a week off.
I thought you were going to say with your missus.
That too. So it's a week off without her. I miss her terribly. But daylight today is actually pretty magic. Like, just pissing down with rain all day. You know what I did all day today?
What'd you do today?
Just read a book.
There you go.
It was nice.
You wouldn't have had the freedom to do that if you were entertaining a child.
Oh, you're entertaining a child when it's just pissing down with rain outside and you're trying not to have them in front of a screen all day.
Yep.
That's difficult.
Yes.
You're like, let's draw a picture.
I took my kids
out. Let's do some paper mache.
My in-laws are leaving in a few days, so we took them to a little bit of shopping before the weather took a really bad turn.
Uh-huh.
This is fascinating listening, I'm sure, about my day.
It's been a shocker of a day, weather-wise.
And then, like, I did play a little bit of Lego.
Nice.
And we did some other stuff I can't even remember. But eventually, I put them in front of Harry Potter.
Oh, nice.
And I watched some rugby.
Fantastic. What, the Harry Potter, the rugby player?
Yeah, they like him. They think he's going to be a key man for the Western Force, and now that he's back for the Wallabies, they reckon they've got a better chance against the Pumas.
Fantastic. Did you tell him, hey, look, don't talk about rugby too early in the
morning? I told them, keep your powder dry.
Did you go with the Sorcerer's...
They were on the third one.
Oh, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit scary, that one.
A little bit of the darkness.
How does the girl do it?
She's all right. She's all right with it.
I get in trouble with my fiance and my ex-wife because we listened to the audiobooks.
Oh, yes.
And they were like, it's not appropriate. It's too many dark themes. You're not going to show her the movie. And then I'm like, the dad's like, don't worry about it, I got you.
Well done.
And then they see me do that, and they're like, no. And then they get up my ass, and then I'm like, sorry, Maddie, it's out of my hands. We'll have to watch
I wonder if this is an issue if both your ex-wife and your future wife are on the same page with this one.
Yeah, I'm very much outvoted. It's terrible. They're very, you know what? They're quite similar to each other.
Oh.
I know.
Wow. You can pick them.
I agree. They often talk and they go, I agree with what
you're
saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they should be together.
I know.
I channeled my inner Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in the week.
What'd you do?
Well,
you offend somebody or what'd you get? What happened?
I both offended people, and managed to get them on my side.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Because you've told me before that you've been in situations where people were a little bit upset with you or potentially going to get upset with you,
yeah.
And you managed to kind of win them over. You said you've kind of got a strategy of getting on their side, literally.
If someone's squaring up to you, the thing you do is you go, instead of being confrontational in front,
yeah.
You move to their side.
Yeah. So I wasn't quite at that level. No one was going to punch me in the face.
Okay, right.
But I learned from it because I had two incidents, weirdly. One, when I was waiting to pick up my kids from school.
Oh, wow.
I was sitting in the car because it was about 20 minutes early.
Yes.
I was just doom scrolling on my phone.
All right.
And this lady went past my car on the other side of the road, and I glanced the glanciest of glances at her, and she just started hurling abuse at me.
Oh.
Like, what are you looking at, you C-bomb, you dirty old F-bomb, in front of like three little preschoolers as well. I was like, okay, this lady's having a bad day, but I didn't know how to react, so I was just like, me? What? And then she walked off. I just kind of ignored her. But I was like, I wonder how I could have handled that better. I could have Tonied that up. And then it just happens a couple of days later.
Yeah.
Like, I have a camera, which I've virtually never used at home. Like, it's not a very good camera, but it can control the shutter speed and the aperture and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I'll learn. I've read a book about, I got a book from the library about photography. I was like, let's practice taking some photos. It's a good hobby, right? It's a good something to do. Develop your skills.
Yeah.
And there was this sunset, which I thought, that looks quite nice. And the books have always said, like, oh, right as the sun's going down, that's primo light, straight lines. Those are cool things.
Yeah.
You know, like the transition between day.
Decently long shutter speed.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of stuff.
Right,
and I was like, cool. So I was like taking this photo on quite a busy road as the sun sets in the background, the lines of the road. And I was like getting down close to the ground to get like, you know, the scale of the thing, setting the focus in the middle and la, 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 la.
Yeah,
and then this guy just drove up onto the side of the curb and was like, what are you taking photos of my car for? And I was like, my first reaction was the same as, what? I'm taking photos of the street. And then I was like, no, be like Tony. And I was like, look behind you. Look at the light as it's hitting these clouds. And he's like, it's just becoming nighttime, mate. And I was like, no, but look, the lights of the cars are on. The sunset is just piercing those clouds. I just started talking passionate photography with this guy. I was just, I had the beamiest of beaming smiles on my face. And both of them were just looking around like, what the fuck is this guy's problem?
Yeah.
And then eventually he was just like, okay, bro. And he just took off. And I was like, I Tonied the shit out of that.
Well, yeah, smiling helps.
Smiling helps. Smiling don't get helps. Defensive. I'm not your enemy.
100%. You never win an argument. Whenever you try to win an argument, the only thing you really win is contempt.
Right.
So if you try and battle someone, overcome an objection. You need to integrate an objection and then work around it. Yeah, you did great. Fantastic.
I was quite proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too. Well done. And you... Sounds as though the first one in particular sounds quite strange. You got the C-bomb thrown at you outside of school.
For sure. I mean, I guess strange man sitting in the car outside of a school, I guess. But I mean, the whole street is full of cars waiting, with parents waiting to pick up their kids.
I think she just might have been headed.
There had been a guy a couple of minutes before her who had walked along who was swearing like mad. So I'm assuming they're a couple and they just had a big row. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, dear.
I wouldn't usually just like, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's just you have to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Righto.
Nothing I say here is going to work.
Probably that one's not a great one to engage with.
Probably not.
If you engaged, you know, in it, she would have loved you to, like, go back at her. And then it would have gone.
I feel like that wouldn't have worked.
Would have been a Mount Vesuvius.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
But the guy got a good photography lesson. Not that I'm much of a teacher, but I
look at the light.
I told him this about the light.
It's, what do they call it? A golden hour.
Yeah, golden hour. That's the one.
Yeah. It's golden hour, man. I just love the light.
Yeah.
And you said, I didn't mean at all to get your car in it. It's not the focus of what you're talking about.
But he just drove up on the side of the curb very aggressively.
Really?
Yeah.
Some people are dicks. Yeah. And if you are that dick, thank you for watching.
Yeah.
2 cents gets distracted.
Rope your podcast. Drop a like.
Yeah. We know how to integrate objections rather than overcome them. Well, that's quite an ordeal. And I feel bad. All I said was I read a book today. I'm reading a book. Good book. If you get the chance, read Project Hail Mary. They're making a movie out of it, which I heard from somebody else that was a really good book, and then I went out to buy it, and they were like, are you buying this because it's turning it before the movie comes out? And I was like, no.
I am.
But now there's a movie coming out, and now I can be one of those assholes.
I read it before
it's better in the book, so
yeah.
It's very Very good. But if you get the chance, read the book Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, I was a bit like that with Game of Thrones because I read it years before the TV show.
Right.
When everyone was getting into it, I was like, well, I knew what was going to happen to Ned.
Well, that's a bit that you knew about the Red Wedding before anyone else
exactly
did.
Right.
Look, and don't get me on Game of Thrones because I've read those books too, but 2011... That was when Dance with Dragons came out.
Yeah, those books aren't getting finished.
Yeah. Well, we've been waiting for, what is it? Winds of Winter for almost 15 years now.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen before you. So it's maybe Winds of Winter, then A Dream of Spring.
It's not going to happen.
He's released so many other books in that time about that.
It's not going to happen. I've already let it go a long time ago.
I'm so depressed about that because I really enjoyed that show.
I think he's written himself into a position that he can't get out of. And
it started getting kind of weird when like all the different Greyjoy characters.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy those.
Those were a bit of a grind.
Those are a drag. You would get to a Tyrion chapter, you'd be like, oh, thank God.
Jeez.
These have been slog.
Yeah, an absolute slog. And the way that Tyrion, in the show, how Tyrion's character... And Varys' character, Littlefinger's character, who were the most intriguing characters, just turned into complete and utter fucking nonsense.
I've pretty much just blocked all of that.
Oh, it was so bad. I remember watching the last couple of episodes of the season, and especially the last one, and it felt like I was watching like the All Blacks lose the World Cup final. I was just like, oh, this is just...
And they're playing like shit as well.
Yeah, they're just playing like shit, and you're just watching this going, what on earth? Like, I remember with my ex-wife, we had like a map of Westeros, and what is it? What's the other one called? Westeros.
Essos.
Essos, and there's this sub one. And then I was like pointing out like all the different locations. Well, this is where the Battle of the Trident happened.
Right.
Where Rhaegar was defeated by Robert Baratheon and all this, putting out all this sort of stuff. And she said to me, she was like, if you actually looked on a world map, would you be able to point out that many historical events? And I was like,
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Mm.
Well, this is particularly interesting. They call it the River of Rubies. That's because Rhaegar's chest plate was covered in rubies and was smashed to pieces by Robert Baratheon.
And his mighty Warhammer.
You're a geek.
I did read those books.
Yeah, exactly. Good books. That's what they were.
They were.
Until they went to shit.
I bet.
Anyway, Mark, should we get into some rugby chat?
Rugby chat.
Here we are in Auckland, the All Blacks' fortress.
Eden Park is not that far away from here.
Yeah, a mere few Ks.
If we wanted to, we could get in a car right now and drive there and then finish this podcast. There's not really a car park at Eden Park, but the street's near Eden Park.
There is a car park, but it gets... Can't park.
You can't park there. Getting to Eden Park kind of sucks. Well, if you take the train, it's fine.
It's not a great location for a stadium.
It's in the middle of a kind of... It's not that affluent, but it's a pretty...
Nice, relatively like, nice. It's become nicer.
Yeah, there's been some politicians who live in that neighbourhood.
Yes, and all the neighbours get really pissed off that...
The stadium's noisy and the fans piss in their gardens. After the game.
Yeah, especially a one-day cricket game.
Yeah, exactly. Cricket's it's a boozy sport.
It is. I love a game of cricket.
Yeah.
Because you're just in the sun all day and you're like, oh, yeah. And then, but they don't serve beers for the last 20 overs now.
Oh, really? That's a change.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change. But no, Eden Park, the Garden of Eden, fortress.
The venue.
The South Africans have arrived in country. They're here.
They arrived at like midnight and there were like fans at the airport to meet them.
More fans than the All Blacks get when they turn up, to be fair. Yeah, lots of Springbok supporters, of Springbok
South Africans over here.
Yes, and they all live in Browns Bay.
There was a comment on Reddit that said like, nice of all those people to drive over from Browns Bay.
Browns Bay.
Browns Bay to the airport is a decent drive, actually.
It's a decent...
It's a good, like, 50 minutes,
There's a big South African community out there. Yeah, quite a lot of them across the East Coast base. We grew up... Do you ever have South African friends at school?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We had a friend called Mock.
Mock.
His name was Mark.
Oh.
But everyone just called him Mock. Because he turned up to school and he was like, lads on Mock. All right, Mock. So he was just, and he was cool with it. He was Mock.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
One of the guys in my class was named Ivor. I-V-O-R. Ivor. Oh,
really?
Yeah. He never lost his accent, even though he grew up like from middle, like intermediate school age. So puberty age.
Got the
got his pubes in New Zealand, but he never lost his accent.
Well, just the way you said puberty age. Adolescence, pre-teen, you could have said something like that, but puberty age. Before his balls dropped. Before his testicles descended completely.
You better believe they descended. His voice got pretty deep.
Yeah, so anyway, they're up against, they're here. 1994 is the record. What can we say that hasn't been said already about this?
My dad was at the game against France in 1994. He was at that game.
Yeah.
Didn't take me.
No, what a bastard.
Oh, no.
You were 11, you could have gone.
Yeah, I could have gone.
Yeah.
I think I was 10.
I remember the try. I remember being gutted. I remember being like,
I don't remember that game.
I do.
I don't even remember games from remember the that, 95 World Cup afterwards.
I remember that series. Oh, I remember the 91 World Cup really, really well. Really? I remember the 1987 World Cup somewhat because I remember my brother and his mates, and he would have been like 10 or something, and I was like 5.
So I remember Dad watching it.
They were doing the and being with and him, but really, I don't remember really the games. Everyone was really, really happy in 1987. Mm. But I remember 91 and my brother and my dad just being devastated and like being just watching that 91 semi-final against the box and just getting ripped up by Campo and
against the Wallabies.
Nick Farr-Jones.
You said the box.
Oh, sorry.
You got the box on the brain.
Box on the brain. The Wallabies, yeah. Nick Farr-Jones, Campo, Michael Liner.
Mm.
Was John Eales? It might have been pre-John Eales' time.
Some legends of Aussie rugby.
Wilkins. Very, very, very good Australian team. But they, yeah, I remember that quite well. And then I remember England, it was an England-Australia final.
Mm-hmm.
England played Scotland in the semi-final in 91.
Is that the way England kind of played dumb rugby, played into Australia's hands, I think?
I don't actually remember the final. I didn't watch the final. I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
I feel like I went back and watched it during COVID because I went back and watched a bunch of old World Cup games and I seem to remember the commentary was saying England weren't playing to their strengths, but this is me being real tenuous. I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe. I remember being really upset and disappointed about it. It was my first moment of sporting heartbreak.
Mine was the 95 World Cup final. Mm. I just remember because I got up at whatever clock in the morning, 3, to watch that. And I was just thinking, we have to win. We're the good guys as I'm like an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm getting up at this time in the morning, so we have to win.
Yeah. I remember the 94 series being a really, really big series, not because it was Eden Park or anyone was really giving a shit about Eden Park, but it was the first time that we saw, like General Lomu had already ripped it up in the provincial scene, done freakish things for counties, had done some amazing things for the Sevens rugby team, and everyone knew that he was just an absolute specimen and had just been terrorizing teams, and then
he got a chance to
he
test
was 17 and he had this incredible reputation already, and everyone was talking about 94 was Jonah this, Jonah that, and he played like a 17-year-old who was scared out of his fucking head in that first test, had a couple of okay moments but was not confident with ball in hand, felt like, you know, with the pressure that he was getting under, just didn't look like he played particularly well at all. And I think he got dropped after. I don't even know if he played at Eden Park in that game. You don't see him in I think he might have been dropped after the first test, which isn't great. Like, you know, come in, the 17-year-old, like, he probably shouldn't have been on the team at that time. But, and then that try from the end of the world. We played really well in that game because we played particularly badly in that first test. That was an incredible try. Who's the man who scored it?
I don't remember.
It's not Surge or
I remember it's Length of the World.
And yeah, it's from the end of the world.
Try. Will the box do that to us this coming weekend?
I don't know the last time I saw them score a length of the field try through the hands. When was the last one I saw them do it?
They would have done one.
I'm sure they would have done one at some stage.
My fingernail's stuck in this pen. Can't extricate it.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I done here?
I don't think that was a very... Oh, my God. You want me to pull it off? Come on.
Let me deal with it.
No, let me pull it off.
No.
What have you
You're
going to
rip
done?
My fingernail off.
What have you done? Oh, there we go. A high drama moment there.
I would use a word to describe my behavior here, but it would probably get demonetized.
Yes. Dumb?
Yeah, dumb.
Yeah,
okay. Let's go with dumb.
Yeah. Hey, I know the one you're thinking of.
The Bucks are coming to Eden Park.
All I was going to say is there was only really one team in the world who could have saw that try, and it was the most French try you'll ever
first
see.
First time since 2013. We haven't played at Eden Park for a long time.
We have played in Auckland.
We have played at Auckland.
And I think both of those teams lose to those particular All Black teams. They didn't even come close, especially that the one that was bloody 57-0.
Albany was 57-0, and then Mount Smart, which was Rusty era, because 57-0 is pre-Rusty, but yeah. Mount Smart was 30-something, 15 and, or something, 20. It was more than a try anyway.
Old, what's his name? He was a bit of a naughty boy as well. I shouldn't say naughty, like a thug. What's his name? Last name?
Oh, you mean Bismarck at the 2013 game? No, where he tackles Dan Carter and gets yellow carded.
The first try.
That was bullshit.
Yeah, he just did a good tackle.
Clobbered him.
It was a great tackle, and he went down on his shoulder and he got injured. And yeah. It's a physical game.
And they're
did he get red carded for that?
He got yellow carded, and then later he elbowed Liam Messam and got himself.
Oh, yeah. I think the second one was a bit
more egregious. Yeah. But yeah.
First one was bullshit. No, the try where number 6 for the All Blacks scored it at Mount Smart first try. They started, you know his name.
Was it Shannon Frizzell?
Yeah, Frizzell.
He was in beast mode in the first half.
Yeah, he just went nuts.
In the first half. Remember, he didn't do much in the second, but the first half he was unplayable.
They started that game so well.
Yeah.
They came out like with a rocket in their
men
pants.
Men possessed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we need to see as All Black fans. We haven't seen... You know, that level of when the All Blacks are humming, they're, you know, quick ruck ball, super, super physical, dominating the collision, and then, like, with incredible execution and skill out wide, and with, like, massive, massive support lines and physical presence at every occasion where they meet body to body. Are we going to see that, Mark?
Doesn't feel like it.
So I was hoping for more optimism.
But I don't know that either team comes into this one in the reddest of hot form. Both teams have looked vulnerable. Like South Africa had their moments against the Italians and Georgians. We had our moments against a very understrength French team. We've both dropped games thus far in the Rugby Championship and had our moments where we looked a bit average.
Are we selling the Australians and Argentinians short by their quality potentially by... being relatively arrogant, All Black and South African fans.
I remember saying prior to the start of the championship when I was looking at all the odds that there's so much focus on Eden Park that we're kind of sleeping on the Aussies and the Argentinians a wee bit. Maybe I'm being a bit arrogant, but I still feel like the Box or the All Blacks are going to take the whole thing out. I can't...
Well, just based on world ranking and... form leading into this, it's hard not to
consistency
say
that. Is always the
form historical form, like as Dr. Phil says, the greatest predictor of past behavior is no of future behavior is past behavior, you know that. But
on your Dr. Phil,
I don't like Dr. Phil,
no, he's a bit of a douche.
In the here and the now, their back lines have been looking way better than Australian and South African back lines, other than that first 20 minutes. Of the first test in a game they ultimately lost by the Springboks, where they looked outrageously good for it.
So whose back lines look good?
Currently, I'd say the best back lines overall have been the Argentinians and the Australian back lines.
Right.
How they've looked, how coherent they've been.
You're saying barring the Box start to that game where they were on fire.
Yeah.
But they were doing the Mount Smart Stadium thing at the start of that game against the Wallabies. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so...
The thing they did do well for the Bok backline in the second game against the Aussies was contest the high balls and stuff well, which is also what the Pumas did to us. Which is one thing which is worrying.
Yeah, I think that is a massive area of vulnerability. And Russie's no idiot. He's the opposite of that. They will be targeting us.
You can't say Russie's a genius, so you just say he's no idiot. Is that what it is? Like someone said, what is it? If Aussies or Kiwis don't want to say you're right, they'll just say, oh, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
instead of saying, oh, he's a bloody genius, like, oh, he's no idiot.
Well, look, the thing, what I'm noticing really is that the Springboks looked better when they had Jack Nienaber as part of the coaching team, in my opinion. So,
some coaches can, like, they do work as, like, duos or trios or whatever. Like, Jamie Joseph, Tony Brown always seem to be a better combo than one without the other.
Yeah.
Like, Hansen looked better when he had Fozzie with him. Yeah. Henry looked better with Hansen with him. Like, sometimes you don't know what is the dynamics going on behind the scenes because they often have different roles, be it like this guy's the man manager. He's the one who gets everyone in the right headspace. But actually the tactical stuff is not the head coach. It could be, you know, I don't know. We're not on the inside of those camps.
We don't know who Razor's found to be that guy for him right now. Yeah. I think Jason Ryan is a very good forwards coach.
There's nothing wrong with the All Blacks forwards.
Yeah, and I think he's made an immediate impact when he came on at the conclusion of the Irish.
Yes, once the All Blacks, with Fozzie still in charge, had a bit of a clean out of their coaches. They brought in...
Jason Ryan's the longest standing All Blacks coach right now, and he's the best proven performer in that coaching team. And, you know, did a great job with Fozzie as well. I think they, and especially once they brought in Schmidty as well, that was a formidable lineup.
Schmidt seems to have a bit of a golden touch.
Yeah, he's one of those blokes, eh?
Some,
and that's what we thought Razor was going to have, didn't we?
But again, that's one of those things. Like, was Razor the dude, or was it that he had the right coaching team around him? You know what
Or was it just that weird sort of Crusaders voodoo?
Is it just Test Rugby is a different beast? You don't get the same, like with Super Rugby, you get the whole preseason.
Yeah.
You get to sign the guys you want. You get them through the academy. So they've been brought through a system which is teaching them the way you want them to play. So you don't have to like build combinations and that kind of stuff. It's already kind of set in stone from the time you get them.
And you get a proper preseason. Yeah, whereas, and if you drop one or two games out of your opening four or five.
You got time.
Yeah, no one's, you know, there's not going to be 16 freaking shows and podcasts about how shit
analyzing everything. But yeah, also you've got the time to, like All Blacks or any international coach, you get the players in not too long before your first game.
Yeah,
you only have a limited number of training sessions and whatnot. So it's a different kind of coaching for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But let's focus on this game. The Springboks themselves, they're back-to-back World Cup champions. I think I've heard that a couple of times recently.
Reigning rugby championship champions. They've beaten us four times in a row.
They appear to very much have the wood on us.
At the moment, for sure.
If they had gone out and done what we kind of expected them to do to the Wallabies pre the Lions tour and just gone out and dusted them,
I think they'd be massive favourites.
Giant favourites right now. Mm. Even at... Well, I'd be more uncomfortable than I am. But it's kind of weird that this incredibly hyped contest, these two absolute behemoths of the game are coming into with lukewarm form.
Mm.
I think by their own standards, they'd admit to it,
mm-hmm.
being lukewarm or even poor. But do you think they're both going to elevate their game to a point that's going to give it the spectacle that we're hoping to see, or one of them's just going to pump the other one, or what's your feeling about the overall sort of standard of game we're going to see?
Maybe I'm being a bit pessimistic, but I feel like, and I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, no, don't say this.
I feel like it's going to be a game that's just won by the team who's smarter and makes fewer errors.
Well, that's like a rugby game, isn't
it? I don't feel like it's going to be one of those ones where it's like fully magic, spectacle, like the kind of game. Like, I always go back to the 2015 World Cup final.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's my team that won, so I'm naturally positive to it. But also, it was a cracking game because, like, it had swings and roundabouts. It had shifts in momentum. Like, it was a proper...
We scored just before halftime and just after halftime. And as Kiwi fans, we just took that moment to go, we're going to do this. And okay, this is going to be relaxed.
And Ben Smith gets himself yellow card. And the Wallabies got a big comeback. Like, it was a proper contest.
They got to within 7 points.
Exactly. So it was a proper contest. I feel like this Eden Park test...
My heart sank out of my arsehole when
Kurandrani
scored. I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I feel like this
So we had to, Eden we Park through game, that little bit of angst. Yeah.
This Eden Park game is more 2011 World Cup final than 2015 World Cup final.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I think it's going to go. I don't think either team... I mean, maybe Rusty pulls some 4D chess shit out of the bag and is doing all kinds of moves. Maybe he picks an 8-0 bench. Who the fuck knows? But I feel like both teams keep it fairly conservative.
Yeah, right.
And it's just who knocks on fewer balls, who gets more scrum penalties, who gets the more going. I feel like it's just going to be one of those games.
Right. So, and one thing I will say about Russ.
Who wants to lose it less than who wants to win it more? Sorry, I'm just doubling down on the, I don't want to say negativity, but the conservative nature of the game.
One thing I will say about Rassi is he is a brilliant coach at coaching to a pinnacle, like building his team to sort of peak when he needs him to peak. And given, and I think he is very, very much connected and has his finger on the pulse of, you know, what's important to the South African rugby public.
For sure.
And he will know better than anybody else in South Africa what it would mean to that nation to be able to rip this, you know, incredible record away from the All Blacks. And he will, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a few aces up his sleeve to play, to be able to create a few surprises and like, and maybe and like, whereas we kind of just head down and sort of look at, you know, what's, you know, right in front of us as All Black fans, and as I think the All Black team do, they, the next test is the most important thing. I think he's very much aware of like overall legacy and massive moments throughout South African rugby history.
Yeah.
And he knows that this could be one of those moments for them. So, and I'm sure Razor is obviously, you know, has an incredibly high desire to win this game too. And he will be, oh God, you think that we were harsh on them when they lost to South Argentina. If they, especially if they put in a bit of a stinker and they lose that record, the pitchforks will be out in force for Razor. So there's a massive amount of pressure. And sometimes the All Blacks play, you think about that test at Ellis Park when Fozzie's career was on the line. They pull out their greatest performances for the biggest moments as well. So it's Eden Park, baby.
I hope this is one where the All Blacks can... Yeah, I hope it's a cracking game as well. Key selection for the All Blacks, or the key question mark, is going to be halfback, because...
We've got a big hole.
We've got a big old injury list there.
Cameron Roygaard's not looking healthy.
I don't think he's going to be ready in time.
Noah Hotham isn't.
No, he's longer term, I think. And then Ratsima took a bit of a whack to the chest, so...
So we've got Finlay Christie.
Quite possibly Finlay Christie to start.
And then a debutant off the bench.
Yeah.
Holy
For the
fuck.
Box, it's who do they play at number eight? Because they...
Williams?
Number eight. No, okay. Maybe Khaleesi again. Because they've had a bunch of guys injured, and then Jasper Visser's still suspended. So they've still got one game. Like, their number eight crisis has been like our halfback crisis. Just so many guys going down, injury, sickness, all that kind of stuff, so...
Look, I think number eight is an incredibly significant player in terms of getting go forward, and can be crucial in terms of how you...
You'd rather have your number nines available, is the point.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of how physical you are, your go forward, and the opportunities you arise for your halves, it's massively important. You know, one of the more important positions on the field. But nine is a little general. Like, The director of the play, you know, and so much of the high ball attack comes from number nine, who has to be world class at box kicking and knowing where the space is. Like, geez, it would be nice to even have. So we've gone from Aaron Smith, okay,
who was pretty good,
TJ Perenara,
who was a pretty capable backup,
great off the bench. And then we had...
Brad Weber, who probably any other generation gets a lot more caps than he did.
I thought he was very unlucky.
He was more loyal to New Zealand rugby than he probably needed to be. A lot of guys would have taken a contract abroad earlier.
Him losing that, not going to the...
World Cup was pretty brutal.
That was a real rough one, I thought. He was a very much quality player. Fakatava.
He's only got a couple of caps and he's fallen down the pecking order. He was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Him and Smith were that combo. We've got our two best halfbacks playing for the same Super Rugby team.
And then we had, obviously Roygaard coming through at the end of the World Cup, and we were like, "Well, okay, well, I know we're losing Aaron Smith, but
this guy looks the business.
This guy looks quality, but sadly, he has been very injury prone,
mm-hmm.
prone, and he prone, Prone, get out of it. Prone, and he's missed more, been not available for more tests than he's been available for. Mm. I don't have any stats around that, but would you?
He's missed a fair few games.
Due to injury. A man's made out of glass. Shouldn't say. He's a very good player.
I'd feel more comfortable if he was fit and having played a bunch of rugby under his belt.
Yeah, if he had just played consistently for the last 2 years.
We're going to have to play our fourth choice halfback who wasn't even in the All Black squad initially.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
And we're not even, Bodhi has an immense amount of talent, but he looked a little bit ropey recently. D-Mac has not come to the party. So in terms of our generals out there directing us around, especially when it comes to how important, territory and the kicking battle is going to be.
If the forwards get on the front foot, they'll make the backs look good.
Yeah.
They just need to get physical dominance against the Springbok forward
pack. I've never thought I'd ever say this. Our strongest area, the area I feel most confident in, is the fucking front row.
Yeah, front row is looking pretty class.
The fuck?
Barring the odd line-out throw.
Yeah.
But, we got good props. Good hookers. Yep. Fabian Holland looked good.
Tight five looks okay.
Yeah. Artie's very Mr. Consistent.
I very much preferred Vai playing in locks.
Lock, yeah.
Not playing as number six.
We've got too many guys who want the starting lock spot with Barrett, Holland, and Vai. That's why they've been shoving him to six. But I don't know.
I think he comes on for Barrett.
What's the key for the box? What do they need to do?
Hope for a bit of rain, and then take it to the air and
watch the All Blacks drop some ball.
And then if the All Blacks are on their game, then you just have to bring brute physicality and win every collision you possibly can.
They've got the four pack to do it.
Get in their face before they get in your face. Put immense amount of line speed on our back line that has shown that they, seem to sort of dissolve in a bit of line pressure.
Do you think they play Mapimpi, who was initially outside the squad but brought back in once they lost Arensa and Van der Merwe?
Yeah.
Or do you think they play Moody, who was a bit rocks and diamonds against Aussies?
I think the conservative call is Mapimpi. Mm.
It's been there and done it.
I would say Mapimpi is probably the I think Kanan.
You like Moody, but
I like Moody a lot, and I think he's got a higher ceiling. But I think I haven't watched a huge amount of him play this year, but I feel like he looks a little bit chunkier than he should right now. He's not out of shape.
Mm.
We're not going to have a flex off me and him. He would might edge me on that.
Probably just a wee bit.
But he just looks holding a little bit, because I remember watching him going, "Why is there a lock steaming down there?" And he was running kind of in that sort of lanky way that locks run. And he didn't look the physical absolute specimen that I
had seen.
I think if he gets himself into real tip-top shape, he's got an incredibly high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also just got to... He seems like he's got to play with a high degree of confidence as well. Maybe that's Russi rolls the dice with him, though.
Do you think they go LaRue at fullback, the veteran, or do they go Fussy, who's maybe a bit more dynamic but not as much of a playmaker?
I thought Fussy's been poor, especially in that first test. I think he was maybe the worst back that the Wallabies had out there. Just seemed to look...
The box?
The box.
Got the Wallaby on the brain.
Yeah, sorry.
You love Tom Wright.
I think they... Oh, he's a loss. The box... he made the worst decisions, the worst goal. I think he played a couple of nice touches from some of the earlier tries when everything was sizzling.
Mm.
But when the heat came on, I thought that he didn't show the greatest ability to rise to the occasion.
So do you think
maybe it's just a bad night? I haven't watched enough of him, but just based on what I've seen.
Does he stick with the veterans? Does he go LaRue, Pollard, Marks, Dutoy, Colisi, all the double World Cup winners? Do you think he goes... pretty much all the veterans to start?
It's a risk, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, some of these blokes, like LaRue, He's a gamer and he's a competitor, and you know that he'd give his left nut to be out there on the weekend.
He helps Pollard with the playmaking because yeah. He's played 10 himself, so he's got
that niggle. He's got that he'll get up.
Yeah, he's not individually as dynamic as the likes of a Fussy, but he's able to bring other guys into the game.
Mm.
But he is getting long in the tooth as well, and he can be a bit vulnerable under high balls as well.
It's the last dance of this group, you know, like this is their last, there's another World Cup to come, but it's probably going to look a bit different than a lot of those blokes.
My gut feeling is he goes the veterans.
Yeah, I agree.
The tried and true, like you said, you know, best predictor of past success is, you know, these are the guys who've done it before.
You know who I thought's been looking, who I've rated highly in the past? I've always rated Marks highly in the past. I think his line-out throwing hasn't been the best this year so far. But I've always, as an All Blacks fan, been quite scared of Marks when he's on the field. But then I've always like gone, oh, geez, and now we get Bongi.
Yeah.
I feel like Bongi hasn't had the same zip pep to a step.
There's some guys who are at that age where they just start to decline.
The old father time is unbeaten sort of thing. Yeah, so I thought, and I feel like one of the big advantages of that bomb squad is a group of blokes who can just fucking rip in.
Yeah.
And if you've got somebody who's 0.5% off or 1.5% off.
At that level, it's a lot. At
that level, it just doesn't have the same pop. Mm. And I felt like the bomb squad has definitely not had the same pop this year. It's
lost a bit of its fuse, eh?
Yeah. And once again, is it because the Wallabies have been playing so well and the Argentinians playing so well in our regard? It's a tough one. If you asked me to predict the winner, like I would say the All Blacks. But if you asked me to write down the percentages of how likely they're going to win,
there's not much in it.
It's pretty much a 50-50. I'm saying the All Blacks because I'm a All Blacks fan. I'm a New Zealander. And we just somehow get it done. It's at Eden Park. But this is a massive challenge to a team that has not lived up to what All Black teams have done in the past. Who if you someone said, how did you buy the nuts, Mark? Said, I'm going to remove one of these if you get it wrong. Who do you call?
Still give Raisin my nuts.
Yeah, the All Blacks going to do it?
I mean, yeah, if you had to pick one, for sure.
Yeah.
But would it surprise me for the Box to win? No. Yeah. I mean, that guy from Rugby Forecast, Graham, his simulation runs it like 10,000 times. That's how they get their predictions. Mm. And I think it has both games, Wellington and Eden Park, slightly in favor of the All Blacks.
Yeah, right.
Like 50 or 60% favorites. I think it's less than 60. But like if you run that 10,000 times, more often than not, it's one apiece.
Yeah.
So whether it's Eden Park one, Wellington the other, or the other way around.
Fuck, if we win all, I'm happy to go 1-1 in this series, just as long as we
win the Eden Park.
Yeah. If we win it at Wellington Stadium, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be really keen for us to win that game, like any other All Blacks South Africa game. But this is bigger than the Rugby Championship. It is. It really is.
It's pretty rare for one game to draw this much, like, singular attention.
Mm. If you want to watch us talking about this fucking game more,
we're going to live stream this game.
Yeah. Oh, no, but also there's another video where...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. On Hamish's channel.
Check out the Kiwi lads. I moderated it. You'll know that's the video because there's a lot of people who say, the guy in the middle is a fucking dick.
He's a cringe.
Yeah.
But no, he's funny. Relax.
Yeah. There's a little bit of... banter. I've somehow become quite polarizing.
There you go.
Yeah, anyway.
I'll put a link to it.
Yeah.
But also, we are going to do a live stream.
We are going to do a live stream.
For the Eden Park test, because we're not going to be at the game.
No, we're not. We're going to be on my couch.
So if there are tears to be had, you will see them live. And
live tears.
Yes.
Exactly. And then we're going to record the podcast. We're not recording a live podcast. I don't even know how we would do that.
We're going to go straight after, because you're going to China.
China! I need to get some Chinese advice off you soon as well.
There is another game coming up, and it's not quite the Battle of Eden Park, but it is the Battle of Townsville.
Oh, they're playing in Townsville?
Townsville.
How about the North Queensland Cowboys?
It's almost as much of rugby heartland as Eden Park. Townsville, North Queensland.
Really? That's cool. Yeah, North Queensland Cowboys.
I reckon that game will be a better spectacle than the Eden Park game.
Well,
but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, it'll be on a dry track, most likely. Just before we go into it, weather forecast, for those of you who are interested, looks like today, if it was played tonight, geez, it should be a rough game to watch.
It's been blowing a gale and pissing down all day.
Exactly. You don't want to play rugby or golf in this. But it's meant to be fine with a little bit of cloud around. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that sticks.
Dry track, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Townsville.
Yeah, they get some rains up there sometimes, but for the most part, it'll be a hard, dry, hot track.
No Tom Wright. He's done his ACL.
I know, that's a huge loss.
But they got Harry Potter back.
Yeah, I think getting Harry Potter back is good, but I think losing Tom Wright, who I would say is actually, with him and Mick Wright, I'd say Mick Wright's been the form forward, and he's been the form back.
Yeah.
So it's a real, real shame.
Massive loss.
So Wright's going to lose, miss the rest of the season.
Yeah,
back for Super Rugby next year, maybe.
Pretty much. ACL is a long recovery.
Yeah, so that's a real devastating blow. Thankfully, he got through. Yeah, I don't know. That sucks. Because he was just really hitting his straps.
He was in scintillating form, man. Like he would get the ball in his own 22, and you were like,
ooh, yeah. He's one of those guys. Yeah. And who knows how that game plays out last week. Well, not, yeah, it was last week.
If they keep Nick White on the field, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But, yeah, so that's a massive.
I think they've
loss
got Liner back as well.
Yeah.
So they've actually got a 10.
And they've got
than Jock.
Nick White got the concussion issues or anything like that?
I haven't read that he's out, so fingers crossed.
That was a weird. That was a weird little retirement he had, wasn't it?
Very, very short.
Yeah.
The Argentinians have picked a pretty small squad, only like 32 guys, but they're keeping pretty much the entire team, barring a couple of prop changes. So. Yeah. It's still going to be that dangerous attacking Pumas side.
I reckon the I'm going to put this out there. I reckon the Wallabies dust them.
You reckon?
I reckon the
Pumas are good for a pretty crap performance after a big win.
That's my theory.
Right.
That I think they all the travel, getting all the way out to fucking Townsville, a place they've probably never heard of in their life. Very foreign conditions to them. It'll be a dry, hard track.
Mm.
Like if Pablo Matera gets a head full of steam and those really classy backs, is what's the name of the Nordo? What name is the number 10? Is he got injured?
Albanos is not traveling.
So
Albanos.
So that's a big loss. That's a huge loss for them. That's a similar loss to the quality of Wright, really. So
yeah, of all the players, you wouldn't have wanted Argentina to get injured. Yeah, he's for sure, one of them.
I called him Nordo.
To the land of Nordor, you must cast it into the fire.
God, why? I host a rugby podcast. I think that they get dusted in the first, and I think they do a better performance, but then the Wallabies win both and go top of
the rugby championship. We split the games with the Box. Yeah. Wallabies win both. Advantage Australia. All they need to do is get the players low back, and it's happy days for Schmidt. He Schmidt it in.
I'm gonna ask you, okay, we need to talk a little bit more about the Wallabies and the Argentinians, or else it's just not fair. But I'm gonna ask you a hypothetical about
the All Blacks getting Schmidt back on board.
No, it's not that. The All Blacks, okay, I'm giving you a scenario.
Yep,
we lose one game to Argentina, we've done that.
Yes,
we lose at Eden Park,
brutal,
we lose in a tight one. To Wellington, in Wellington.
Shit, we've been on 47 minutes about this.
Oh, yeah, okay. And
still
then,
so much rugby to talk about.
And then we lose both games to the Wallabies.
If Razor loses the Eden Park record and the Bledisloe...
Is he gone?
I think he... I don't know if New Zealand Rugby can afford to sack him. They've got no money. They keep losing money.
Who would they get?
You need to get Schmidt once he's finished with the Wallabies and be like... Right, Razor, yeah, you're still the coach, but see what this guy has to say.
Schmidt would have to go on gardening leave. There'd be a litigation.
Yeah, I suppose. Then the season starts. Okay. Les Kiss takes over into Super Rugby. Schmidt leaves into Super Rugby. That's when he comes on board with the
Airbase. So he loses the Eden Park record.
Oh, man, that'd be tragic.
And loses. This Wallaby team is playing way better than we are right now.
They got no Skelton for the Argentinian games because he's had to go back to his club. And
fuck you, France. Fucking let them keep Skelton, you dicks.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, that sucks. Why? Oh. Can't, what, someone needs to stump up the freaking...
I think they...
ACT or Reds or some... Look, they can pay bloody Sua Lee $1.3 million a year. Fucking find a million bucks for one of the best forwards in the game.
I think the Wallabies could have forced the issue, but they decided, nah, let's just keep things on healthy terms. Like, the Box have gotten very good at that, about keeping good relationships with the clubs to make sure they get the players released when they need them.
At least that's one thing. So that's why
I think Rusty's even kind of told players, like, if you sign for this club, they are more likely to play hardball and you will not get time with the Box.
Yeah.
Whereas if you sign for this club, they're a lot more flexible. We can work something out.
Yeah, but they're like, well, Toulouse is going to pay me 400,000 euro more than Bath is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a, yeah, well, there's negotiations and conversations to be had.
Yeah.
But yeah, no Skelton, at least for the Argentina games. There's rumours that he might be back and available for Bledisloe.
Yeah.
So they might be saving him for that.
I almost said, oh, I hope so, but then I withdrew that out of my mouth because I don't hope so.
There you go.
Oh, for the sake of the quality of the game. Can we see this guy? Is he...
Got the angle.
We've got, yeah, today. He's just got his little, he's just peeking his head in.
I need to pee.
Do you?
I have to go pee.
What do you want me to do while you're gone?
You can talk about...
Give me your notes. I'll read some stuff from your notes.
Fiji, Tonga. The notes at the top are all irrelevant. It's all these
so
bottom
we'll come
notes.
Back to what we're talking about in this game. We've got anything else to say about...
Anything else you want to say?
I don't usually do this.
It must be the coffee.
Yeah, well, you have a coffee before... No, you've done nothing differently. Yeah, they can't hear that. okay. All right. So, in other rugby news, Fiji played Tonga, and they beat them 32-10. Tonga came out of the gates, and they got the first try. Good little try to Pulu. Did he play a test with the All Blacks? I think he might have snuck one in there around the fringes. But then from there, that point on, it was a bit of a procession to the Fijians. And there's some quality in that Tongan team. Like, if you look at... what's his name? Charlie Piatau. Oh, God. Who else is in that? I think Solomon Okata is in that team as well. Some real quality that they had to come up against. But playing in Suva, I believe they were, they managed to really dominate. Wait, was that a quick piss?
It was a quick piss.
Jesus Christ. You pissed for like 3 seconds. All right, he's back. I actually talked some... You watched that back. I really talked some good rugby.
What did you talk about?
I said that... Did Pulu get a test for the All Blacks?
Yeah.
He did. I knew he did.
Former All Black. Augustine Pulu.
Got a sneaky little try around the corner.
A wee snipe, yeah.
And I was also talking about the quality of the Tongan team, that they had Charles Piatau in their team.
At fullback, they had...
And Solomon Okata.
Mm-hmm, in the midfield, I think.
And anyone else of note? That
Ben Tamifuna was on the bench.
All right. Okay.
Oh, I feel so much better.
Oh, I'm happy for you, man.
Should be.
I don't think you've ever done that in over 100 episodes.
It's a first. It must be the Eden Park nerves.
It's giving him a jangly bladder.
Exactly.
back to Argentina.
Oh, yeah. Wallabies.
So do you think I'm being rough on the Argentinians saying they're going to get dusted? I think it's going to be 13+.
I feel like they don't perform well 2 weeks in a row.
Once again, going back to the wise words of
Dr. Phil,
the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior.
Yep.
They get a hit. Well, it's got to turn at some stage. Hey, I'm just going to do this to try and get this guy in frame a little bit more. How's that?
There you go.
There he is.
The old 2CGD.
There it is.
By the way, if you want a sponsor...
Oh, we're doing
this podcast. We kind of got our Hawke's Bay sponsor for this one. We'll talk some NPC in a bit, but we don't have a sponsor for next week, and that's the Eden Park game.
Oh, you're gonna get some views.
If you want to get in, next week's the one. Buy us some beers. We'll give your company a shout out.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be a company.
It can be just you. Just
we've done dog walkers and sports algorithms.
We did somebody's CV once.
Someone's CV. We've done boat deliverers.
An Irish pub band.
And hunting trips.
Yes, that was an interesting one.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. We tend to get... What is the...
Electrician.
Sports forecast. I think
the old Tweeddale.
Tweeddale.
Painters. So we've done a bunch of... Yeah, we're affordable. It'll be a big week next week.
Exactly. Get in.
Although it will be on Tony's channel.
Yes. So you can take off
And you can leave comments saying, get the guy off your channel, Mark. That prick.
I really copped some shit on the other video. I think people didn't... I got a few comments saying... I opened with a line about your whiteboard being as sexy as your mum's undies.
Oh.
Yeah, I think there are a few people who didn't appreciate that.
Oh, fair enough.
Just have a laugh, ladies and gentlemen.
So you talked Fiji Tonga while I was gone.
I did. I fucking did proper like rugby YouTube.
You watched it? So Fiji played...
I did.
Fiji played like okay and still won 32-10.
Yeah.
And this is Tonga who beat Samoa the week before.
Yeah.
So Tonga were not bad, but
you know
Fiji...
what's weird?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I kind of spoke over you there. Apologies. I never do that.
No, it's a first. There's two firsts. Me taking a pee and you yabbering.
The Drua get better support than the Fijian national team in Fiji.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just Tonga's not a big draw, I guess. Well, they figured they're going to win easy, and they did.
Wow.
They didn't even play close to their best.
No. But you know what was nice? They scored some quality tries, and they scored tries when the backs were running onto the ball at pace. And there
Logan
was...
Amasi on the left wing is a weapon.
And lovely, lovely handling, quick hands at times.
When they got it going, it got going.
If the All Blacks were doing that, they would have dropped the ball three or four times.
Yeah, the Fijian backs looked sharper than ours.
Yeah,
Different opponents, playing Tonga, sure. But
at home.
Fiji looked pretty good, suspect they didn't play anywhere near their best and still won 32-10, bonus point win.
Yeah.
The other game was Japan-Canada in the Pacific Nations Cup. Canada
tighter. Tighter than I thought it was going
to
be.
For a while. I mean, it finished 57.
First end of the first half, what was the score?
It was within a score. It was like 17-10?
Yeah.
So up until the hour mark, it was a game. And then Japan just went bang, 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 bang.
Final score?
57-15. So the finish is a real hiding.
Yeah.
But similar to what you were saying about Skelton, Tyler Ardron, who's Canada's best player, and even Olmstead, their other best player, both went back to their French clubs.
Yeah, fucking France. Stop shitting on international rugby.
France still gives a lot more guys more opportunities than the rest of us.
In terms of...
Because we have quotas on how many foreigners can play in Super Rugby. We have only got one or two guys per team. Guys who are like eligible for Fiji or Tonga or Samoa... In particular, are kind of discouraged from playing for those teams because then you'll take up a foreign player quota.
I feel as though that the NPC is
just as guilty.
Really bad, like taking preventing
like the likes of a Miracle Failangi, from playing for Samoa.
That is disgraceful.
Yeah,
really disgraceful. Playing and then the likes of not having a player like that available makes their trip to the World Cup harder. You know, for a number of reasons. Obviously, they don't get the same sort of team cohesion and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But they lose those games, and then they have to go through a fucking...
Repercharge and stuff,
bullshit repercharge, you know? They shouldn't. They're a World Cup team.
That is bullshit.
Yeah.
But there you go. Eddie Jones is Japan. Big win.
Eddie Jones is Japan, yep. Yeah, it was...
Warner Dearns, their big Kiwi lock. He was a big unit. He was captain for the
Number
swing.
Eight scored two tries as well.
Yes, Fakatava.
Fakatava.
Amato.
Yeah.
Fuck it's up.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a World Cup going on right now.
Yes.
I feel bad. Like, we did a much better job last year, but it is so much harder to keep your finger on the pulse. Like, we were waking up, and it was, like, all over the news, and it was everywhere, and we were involved in it, and you were just, like, it was down the road, it was everywhere, and you could just flick it on and go, oh.
There's a bunch of games on. Yeah, I'll just watch them all day, put it on the background, some tasks around the house, play with my kids, but put the rugby on.
But now they're on in the middle of the night, and then you wake up, and then it's not.
There's four games to watch.
Yeah. It's a laundry list.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll watch the highlights of Australia versus the USA. Yeah.
There were at least some closer games this week. Like England against Samoa, 92-3. That was not close.
I love
being a little bit facetious with that one.
You know, the moment when Samoa had some moments. At the end of the first half, they looked like they could have scored. They got a scrum penalty to get that 3 points.
I think it's their first. They celebrated it because I think it's like their first World Cup points or something.
And they were just like, yeah.
We scored against England.
Yeah, the crowd was super happy. And
it was like 47-0 up until that point. So it went 47-3.
Before I watched it, I was like, why do they go for three? There's no point. And then I felt like, and then I watched it and it was actually kind of sweet. So I was like, why am I such a cynical prick?
Yes.
And I was like, because you've been beaten down by this cold, hard world, Tony.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Now that game was a blowout.
Yes.
The other games were all a bit closer the than 92-3. But England looked very good. Again, they were always going to demolish Samoa. There was never any doubt.
Are they
I don't know the pools. I can't remember.
Pool B?
I know which teams are going to make it through, so I haven't really cared which team. There is a little bit of spice about it with USA and Australia drawing.
So in that same pool, you've got the USA and it's all, poor old
the pool A, England, USA, Australia, and Samoa.
So it's all about who pumps Samoa by the most between.
Or if Australia can get a bonus point against England. Because America didn't.
Right. Just keep it within a score. I don't think it's.
Or get four tries.
Unlikely.
Seeing as England have conceded, I think, 10 points. But
I think if England even play like a second string team, it's still going to be so much better than what the quality the Australians are probably going to have to offer. I just say that based on the scorelines in my historical knowledge of women's rugby.
Yeah, England are very good.
Very good.
I didn't have as much of an issue with them this week. I don't know why. Okay. I was disgruntled with them last week.
Yeah, you were a real bit of a nasty
but
Nigel.
They were fine.
Yeah.
They scored some nice tries.
They did. They sure did. Maybe you're just sort of trying to be aware of your own.
Well, so I mentioned that in my video. Some people were like, I used to feel like the way about the All Blacks. Like, you guys would just win all the games and I fucking hated you. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, for sure. But no, this came out of my, there was like a little air bubble at the back of my throat that kind of popped. I could have fucking died. Thank God I'm still here.
Canada beat Wales. Wales have been a bit disappointing.
I'm trying to launch into my one thing.
Oh, okay, go on.
So I watched.
Yeah.
Australia versus the US.
I watched that as well.
So this was the big
game. I knew the result, which takes a bit away from it, but I was like, oh, that's worth watching.
This is the big game of the weekend because all the other games were kind of, you knew who was going to win. But the outcome of that particular game was significant for the tournament because it was going to dictate who in all likelihood was going to go through with the English. So it was in a tightly fought battle.
Mm-hmm.
A really, really tightly fought battle with some quality rugby out there.
Australia were up at half time. Tip for tat. England, America went in front and then Australia pulled them back and then America scored late. Australia had to chase it down.
They had a real feeling of World Cup drama to it.
Yeah, which is cracking for a pool stage.
Yeah, which is what you really, really want.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the old kicking at poles was the problem for both teams.
Both sides will regret some of those kicks.
Both teams had chances to win it.
Yes.
And most notably, I would say, is the last kick, similar to fucking James O'Connor's kick at a similar angle.
I think the Americans had something which is as bad.
Yeah. Number 10, they score a try close to the post.
Yeah.
And she just pulls it a little bit.
Yeah.
She just gets on top of it a little bit. Body a little bit too close to the ball, pulls it, and then it's a fucking draw. And both teams looked pissed, which I was happy to see because sometimes you see these games, and the ladies finish and then they're all smiles and hugs, which is okay, great, cool. But I like to see it mean something sometimes, and a bit of I love the devastation and the delight. You know, ecstasy and agony is what I was looking for. But they both were in agony. They were both like, fuck.
Nobody wanted that result.
Yeah, yeah.
Both teams looked like they'd won it. Like, the Aussies were up by 9 points with, 20 minutes to go. The US were up by a score with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And then they end up in a draw. That's so good. You know, Ilona Mark gets a lot of shit.
It's bullshit. Why is she getting
from
so much
women
shit?
As well? Heaps of women have given her heaps of shit. She won 3 turnovers in that game. She was a beast at the breakdown.
Yeah. She had a couple of defensive lapses that led to tries. But look, she's a real beast out there.
Mm.
Like she.
Oh, I'm watching her play. What's the problem? Is it because she's just famous? She's like too famous for her own good.
But it's a whole tall poppy bullshit.
Yeah, I suppose.
Sorry, mate. I'll blip one out for you. Stopping dicks.
There's an Irish guy on.
What's the kind of time on that?
So I can we're count. At 1:10.
I have to mute out. If you're out, no wire.
103. Oh, I got bad eyesight.
I have to mute out the C-bombs. C-word.
There's a guy, an Irish guy, who does short videos on. I've seen him on Facebook Reels or whatever, but he finds people who are criticizing, mostly women, like women weightlifters, women rugby players, and he looks at their comments and just calls them C-bombs. Yeah. Because it's usually like some dude who's like, oh, that woman's got such a bad weightlifting technique, and he looks at their profile, and it's like some skinny dude who doesn't even look like he can lift, you know, 50 kilos. Yeah, it's like, yeah, right, okay.
You do do that. Like, I find like, because I cop a bit of shit online.
Right.
I look at sometimes the people's profiles are doing it. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And they always look like the biggest fucking losers. Well, a lot of the time. And then you look at their comments on other things, and it's just like horrible shit that they're writing all over the internet. And you're like, these people, it's got something wrong with them.
Maybe.
Anyway, that's what it is.
Canada beat Wales.
Yes.
Wales have been disappointed. They got beaten 42 points to nil.
Ooh.
Sophie DeGoody, the kicker for the Canadians, kicked 100%.
Wow.
Very different from the Aussie and American game.
The Welsh did all right. They didn't.
Yeah, they've had a bad World Cup. They've lost both their games to Scotland and now the Canadians. So they've not played well.
The Irish in it?
Yes. The Irish are playing, because we're recording this on Sunday, they're playing overnight for us.
I'm very sorry to those Irish. I'm sure the Irish rugby women's fans.
Let's just pretend that Ireland beat Spain pretty comfortably.
Oh, geez.
The Black Ferns beat Japan pretty comfortably.
O'Shaughnessy and O'Leary.
Italy,
and
South
O'Connell.
Africa. Italy won that one.
You reckon?
Yeah. And France demolished Brazil. You heard it here second, because you probably already know the results as this comes out.
And if we're wrong, we apologize.
Yes. Also, Scotland beat Fiji 29-15.
And to pivot, so I feel bad that we're not doing as good an effort on the World Cup women. We did a Scotland whole episode of this last year, around about this time. Well, not last year, but 4 years ago. 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was the early days of the pod as well.
We were really excited about it. The hype train was real.
I was one of our better pods.
It was great.
Energy
levels were high.
Yeah, exactly. Not this dirge that we're putting out, this jaded old shit. But we got no one watched it.
I know. A lot of people just don't care about women's rugby who watch our other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's fine. You don't have to watch women's rugby.
There's those
Venn diagrams.
The Venn diagram isn't quite overlapping.
No.
Yeah, you know we need.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, we like it.
It's rugby.
We don't like women's rugby. Oh no. We
love it.
Yeah. Oh no.
Elsewhere,
I really wanted a little bit more energy from you there.
In the rugby world,
the
Ranfurly Shield,
the Log of Wood,
changed hands.
Yes,
and thank you to our NPC beer sponsor from our man Jimmy.
Jimmy, thank
Hawks
you very
Bay,
much.
I'm afraid your side lost as well.
Suck it,
but not as bad.
Thanks
as
for the beers, Jimmy.
Waikato. Sorry, bumped my microphone. Waikato held the shield for a grand total of 1 week. Having just won it from Taranaki, again, I bumped my microphone, they lost to Southland, who haven't hit the shield since 2011. What were you doing in 2011?
I was feeling very anxious about the World Cup.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
I was dating a Welsh girl.
That's right.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Laura.
Laura. Good on you, Laura.
She's a champ. Joker. Absolute champ.
She got any kids?
She does. Yeah. I think she's got two of them now. Not mine.
Okay.
I lived with her for about 4 years.
Wow, that's a fair relationship. What happened? She got sick of
you. What happened? Oh God. We turned out just to be really good mates.
Well, there you go.
We were just like,
didn't that happen with your ex-wife?
Oh no, she hated my guts. No. My ex-wife. Oh God, why are we fucking breaking down my significant breakouts? Jesus Christ. Yes, I get along with all my exes. They're all great.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll go, Laura.
Yeah, then I'm getting married next year, so stay
25-10, Southland. Very comfortable.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, and it was a bit of a celebration at the end.
They were down.
Terrible conditions.
Yeah, and it's been horrible weather here in NZ, but they were down 10 points to 3.
Yeah.
Come back. Some nice tries from the boys.
Some lovely tries.
Deep south.
Lovely little dink over for one of those last tries.
Big break from their number 8 with a support line.
For not naming a single player.
Oh, the Ty Loa, the big number 8 for Southland.
He's a real unit.
Guy. He's a big unit.
He's a unit. He's a barrel.
Yeah.
And then
I think there was a Morgan who scored somewhere.
Gave it to the number 9 had some
halfback,
a bit of toe on him. Maybe get him in the fucking
had some
base.
Work to do.
Jeez Louise. Yeah.
But 25-10 is a bit of an emphatic one.
Yeah, for
How long do you reckon Southland will hold it?
A week. But they look,
they got Canterbury next week. Oh, and Canterbury. And Canterbury. It's a Shield challenge, and Canterbury is smoking everybody.
And I thought you had to be at home to be a...
Yeah, the Southland are at home.
Oh, no, poor bastards. Like, enjoy tonight, boys.
Canterbury, for context, beat Manawatu 53-14.
You just basically get a massive party that night, and you get a big lot of...
I'd love you to hold it, Southland, but
I'm not with Canterbury, and then they could have a...
Fucking remember ages.
Remember the early 90s, the bloody...
Auckland had it for like 50-odd challenges, and then we lost it to Waikato.
Yeah, and that's why it was such... It was bloody John Mitchell's team. And it was a massive moment when they took it back. They took it away from them.
Bastards.
It was huge.
The Mulu men.
It was maybe the biggest thing in New Zealand rugby.
Yeah.
Was the Ranfurly Shield in the early 90s.
It was massive.
Giant.
Huge.
Huge. Massive.
Our beer sponsor, his team lost to Northland 27-22.
We are worried. Well, Blues country, North Harbour, Auckland.
Only Northland are getting the wins.
All three of the Blues teams have got two wins. And they're both from Northland.
And one was Northland over Auckland.
And I would say, not to be rude, and Northland are probably generally deemed the third party of the three players.
Generally, they're a bit shit.
But fucking North Harbour.
They flogged us,
balls,
though.
And, what's the Battle of the Bridge going to be like this year?
It's the bottom of the Battle of the...
Battle losers. Of the Basement.
Yeah, basically. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. But Wellington beat Auckland 36-17. We don't need to talk about that.
So Vea looks okay at number 12. Jerry Collins Stadium, which is
It's a much better venue than the Cake Tin.
Yeah, no one was there. No one was at any NPC games today because the weather was dog shit.
North Harbour lost to Bay of Plenty.
Yeah, go the Bay.
There you go. Yeah, 19 points to 7. Counties lost to Taranaki.
I didn't catch that one.
Canterbury smashed Manawatu.
And now we're going to get into the Fire of Palmer Cup.
I didn't watch any of that, sadly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's all the rugby.
So much rugby. Eden Park to come. That's the big dog.
Yes. And
but not
just
that one.
Yeah. So watch our live stream next week.
Join us. Yes. Either our celebration or our salty, salty tears.
Yes, it's gonna be a night to remember. Or maybe just a night where kind of a shitty game of rugby happened. And we scrap.
I think I'll probably have to come here for the one before the Aussies game because it's on 4:30.
Yeah, right.
Because if I wait till the end of that game, 6:30 to do a video, I won't be here in time for kickoff. So we'll watch the Aussie game together.
Okay.
Without doing a stream.
Right, we won't stream that one.
And then we'll stream Eden Park.
Yeah.
He'll be my whiteboard for the wrap up of the Aussie game.
You can bring your actual whiteboard. If you need to.
If I don't need you
I'll
in the video.
I'll just hold it up in front of you. And then I'll peek over and go, hello. Yeah.
There you go.
It's a whiteboard. It's not too hard to pack away, is it? Because I'm going to China pretty soon after that, then we're going to have to record the pod straight afterwards. So it could be
it's going to be a packed action adventure evening.
Oh, no, we're going to be tired, aren't we?
Old man.
And I have to put my daughter to sleep somehow throughout all that as well.
Oh, goodness me.
It's going to be full on.
It's going to be full on.
It really is. All right, fabulous. Okay, well, it's all to come. And this has been a podcast called...
2 Cents Gets Distracted. Go get your prostate checked.
Yeah. That's better than saying it's a rugby podcast. It's a prostate podcast.
Love a good prostate. PPs. Not an unhealthy podcast. Prodcast? Prodcast. Get your prod. Good times.
So stupid. All right, I apologize.
I'm going to go pee again.
Yeah, I need to pee now.
I actually don't need to pee.
I do. All right, bye.
Bye.